Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is St. James the Greater, the Boanerges, half of Boanerges, right? Half of the Sons of Thunder, the brother of John the Theologian. And we read about his martyrdom in the Acts, and then we read about his calling in the Gospel. And in the Gospel, the Lord said that he knew that they were kind of overwhelmed by the catch of fish. And he said, from henceforth you will be catching men. They were overwhelmed by so many things that Jesus did and said, things that they just don't seem like they're possible, but they are. What's possible is that we could become perfect. Many people don't believe that, even people who are Christians. That's what the resurrection is, you know, to be raised in perfection. Not just to be raised like we are, or maybe to be raised no longer, you know, having sore joints and needing glasses, having some sort of perfected body, but not a perfected soul. The resurrection is the perfection of the entire human being, body and soul. And it's really incredibly difficult to understand. And for many people, even people that count themselves Christians, difficult to believe. Because you can see in the landscape of people who call themselves Christians, people who say they're Christian and say they believe in the resurrection, but they don't believe in the application of the resurrection. The application of the resurrection is that the saints are alive. They're really more alive in one way than they were when they were in body and soul. Now they're just soul waiting for the body. But they can hear. They can pray. They can worship. They can give thanks. Far easier, without any effort at all, really, compared to in this day. For us, it's difficult for us. The saints are alive, and we will be perfected. And the perfection is happening now. I thought I'd go through the gospel that we read for the day. We're going through the gospel of John in the Paschal period. And this gospel happens to be the one that's read for the repose on any Tuesday and any Saturday. So we've actually read this gospel many times during the year, and we have Saturday commemorations for the departed. He says, "Verily I say to you, the one who heareth my word and believeth not the one who has sent me hath everlasting life, and cometh not out of judgment, into judgment, excuse me, but hath passed over out of death into life." Passed over. There's a journey happening. There's a process occurring right now. The Christian should feel this process occurring in his heart. He knows that he does things that are wrong. He knows that he does things that are death, but he also knows that he's learning to become alive. So this process is happening. There's a passing over from death to life that's happening right now in this life for us. We should always remember this. I think especially we need to remember this, these people, us, in this generation, because there's a lot of death out there right now. I'm not talking about the death because of the pandemic of the coronavirus. I'm talking about the death that will still be coming and the death of the soul, where people have no understanding of what it is to live, who they are, what they should be, what they should aspire to be. And they equate their desires and their feelings to be who they are. That's death. It's happening more and more in our day. And so we must, in the midst of all this, understand that we are passing over from death to life. But it's a difficult process. It's not easy. People who think Christianity is easy have no idea what Christianity is. The yoke is easy, the burden is light, but only when we take it. And there's so much in us that doesn't want to take that yoke. We understand this. Our prayers make us understand this. But the world doesn't. But we are passing over from death to life. Never forget that. You might need to know that. You might need to know that in a very difficult time upcoming in your life, that you are passing from death to life, that it's happening. So he says, "I say to you, an hour cometh and now is when the dead shall live and hear the voice of the Son of God, and they who hear shall live." Those are very comforting words to me. I think to anyone who's lost a loved one, they're very comforting. That there will come a day when we hear the voice of God. I don't hear the voice of God now. If I did hear the voice of God, I would consider that it would be a delusion because I'm unworthy. But there will come a time when I hear the voice of God as easily as speaking to one of you, as easily as Adam and Eve heard God in the garden. We will hear the voice of God, and that voice will make us so glad. Remember the sermon of St. Epiphanius? And it kind of culminates in Christ going down to the lowest hovel where Adam was kept in chains. And Adam heard footsteps, and he thought it might be his Lord. And then his Lord called out to him. Could you imagine the joy that Adam felt after being in chains for so long? It will be like the joy that we feel when we hear the voice of God. This is coming, but it's also happening. Not perfectly for us, but we are hearing the voice of God, at least in terms of God revealing himself to us in ways other than as directly as Adam and Eve heard God, as Moses heard God. But we will hear him like that. But right now it's happening, and we have to be aware of this process happening. Don't forget this process. I think that the world is a very frightening place right now. Very frightening place. Because of how easily people will believe that which is false. And how easily it can be enforced. Even without a totalitarian government, it can be enforced. In the minds of men and women, and in corporate groups, and in governmental legislation, and in just the minds of people. It's very frightening how easy it is for people to believe that which is false, that which invokes fear. But we are passing over from death to life. We must remember that, and we will hear the voice of the Son of God. We must remember that, and we must know that they who hear that voice of God will live, and that what is in this life is not full life. And when people live according to something that is not of God, it's not life, it's death. It appears to be life to them, and probably to us sometimes, but it's death. So to hear God's voice is to be truly alive, to be who we are meant to be. And we have to remember this, because I think every single one of us will have great temptations for the rest of our lives. There will be times when we will be greatly tempted, and we have to remember. It has to be something not that you have to think about, but it is just internal in your being that you are being transformed and that you are passing over from death to life even as we speak, and that there will come a day when you hear the voice of God as clearly as speaking to any other person. We have to remember these things. For even as the Father hath life in himself, he also gave to the Son to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment. Now there he's speaking about himself being, of course, the only begotten Son of God. Light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one essence with the Father, by whom all things remain. He has authority because God has authority, and he is God. He speaks to himself as God. If you look in the Gospel of John, there are many passages where Jesus Christ says things that are only possible if he is God. And he also says things that are only possible if he is man. And in this passage, he does both. In this case, right, the first case, he is saying he has life in himself, and therefore he can give life. He has the authority to give life. And then he tells us to cease marveling at this, just like he told the disciples to cease marveling at the catch of fish, that there are greater things in store for us, things that we cannot even understand. The time when everyone in the graves will hear his voice and everyone will rise. Then he says, though, that those who rise, those that are good and those that are bad, some will rise to condemnation, some will rise to blessedness. Those who have done good things, to a resurrection of life. Those who have done bad things, to a resurrection of condemnation. I have a feeling that that verse is not highlighted in a lot of people's Bibles, because it doesn't fit with their idea of what Christianity is. They want Christianity to just be, I believe something, and therefore I'm saved. It's not what you believe, it's what you do because you believe. So we must do good in order to be resurrected to a salvation of life. Now that doesn't mean that the Lord weighs all the good things we do and all the bad things we do like a scale and all these kinds of images that are sort of strange. It's what you become that matters. Do you have an honest and good heart? Well, if you don't, then work on having an honest and good heart. Because those who are not honest, those who are not good, will not be saved. You have to struggle. And if you fall short, don't fret about that. The Lord will help everyone who makes the effort to become good. And if that doesn't seem good enough for you, you don't think you're good enough, God can make you good. God can make you good. Just like he accepted the person who came at the 11th hour. This understanding of the way to live the Christian life was the entire teaching of the church without anybody gainsaying it for over 1,000 years. But recently, in the history of man recently, 500 some years, maybe a few more, people have questioned this doctrine, this idea that just makes sense, that we are to live in a way that is like God. And if we don't live as we are struggling to be like God, then we can't say that we love God. And we can't say that we love our brother if we, or love God, excuse me, as St. John says, if we don't love our brother. It's very obvious. Then he says, I am not able to do anything of myself. Why does he say that? Because he's also the Son of Man. So he says, even as I hear, I judge, my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the one who sent me, the Father. So he's saying that he's God and man, and as man, he does not have authority, but as God and man, following the will of God, he has authority to judge. The person Jesus Christ judges, and the person Jesus Christ is God and man. If he were only man, he has no right to judge. If he were only God, of course, he can judge. But as God and man, he can equally judge. And he has that right to judge. I think the most important thing that comes out of this gospel is something we must remember in this day and age. This day and age is a very terrible age. I think we're going to have a lot of bad news this year. And I think it's just going to keep increasing. I don't want to be a fearmonger. I'm not trying to make you be afraid. I'm trying to make you get on your knees and pray. Trying to make you understanding what you were born for. You weren't born for whatever political drivel is happening or whatever socially acceptable things are being promulgated. You weren't born for that. You were born for perfection. You were born to pass over from death to life. And that's what you are doing. And you must continue to do it. And you must understand that in the midst of doing that, the world is going to tell you that this death is life. Don't believe them. Only the life where we live according to who God is, that is life. Everything else is death. Don't listen to the world. The world is going to keep giving its message and censoring those who don't have its message and even put in prison those who don't have its message. But we are passing over from death to life. Don't ever forget that. May God help us. May God give us courage. May God help us to learn how to pray. God bless you. Christ is risen.